that could be kind of thrown on its head if we don't get much moisture in the next few weeks.
It can enhance the development of those kind of protective pigments. And again, as a byproduct, we get to see the nice colors.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, a little something for the leaf peepers. Well, many factors influence the vibrance and length of the fall foliage season. Among them are the amount of rain and what types of stresses the trees have been exposed to over the course of the growing season. In Vermont, a range of colors are anticipated each year, from the deep reds and rusty oranges produced by maple and oak trees to the yellow leaves of alder and beech trees. Vermont Commissioner of the Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation Michael Snyder is also the state forester. He spoke with our North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley and says the foliage outlook this year is good despite drought conditions in some areas that could stress trees.
By and large, the trees have done their part, growing all summer and doing their thing, and now responding to shortening day lengths and kind of making preparations, if you will, for winter, physiological changes that result in this brilliant display of color. So, the normal factors are healthy growth during the growing season. That requires ample moisture and good sunshine and a minimum of pests and pathogens. And so that's largely been the case this year, but we've had a little more of some of those other things. So drought. In Vermont, pretty much the entire state is either categorized now as being either in moderate drought or abnormally dry, with one small area in southeastern Vermont technically ranked as severe drought. So severe drought is a real problem for trees that tends to make leaves turn brown. They get scorched. If they're going to turn colors, they might do it early and then drop completely. So severe drought, which does exist in some parts of Vermont and elsewhere in the region, will result in, pockets of poor foliage coloration. That said, abnormally dry and moderate drought conditions can actually enhance color development in certain cases. And so we've noticed that for some years now. And at least in Vermont, given that much of the state is in, those lesser categories of drought stress, we're still hopeful that they will be able to put on the traditional display of amazing color.
Why does the abnormal dry conditions actually enhance the color? You would think that it would be stressing the tree.
Quick explanation of the science of fall foliage, and then maybe I can answer your question a little better. If I start with, they're green all summer because of this very important pigment called chlorophyll. And as the days get shorter, the trees clue into that and trigger the beginning of some changes, which is they stop making chlorophyll. And then they start to recycle some of those constituent chemicals that they use to make chlorophyll molecules. And that's why we start to see the trees go from green. And then as it breaks down further, you start to see some yellows. And in the most stressed trees, some reds developing. The red pigments, they play a role, kind of a protective role, in this transition time. And so under stress, like the drought stress, it can enhance the development of those kind of protective pigments. And again, as a byproduct, we get to see the nice colors.
Do these responses vary dramatically between different species of trees?
Yes. And even within trees within a species, one sugar maple to the next can do things somewhat different. We have a greater variety of tree species and a greater variety of conditions that results in a greater variety of coloration. And so it does vary. We are heavy to maples. One in four trees in Vermont is a maple of some sort, sugar maple, red maple. And they're kind of the show stealers, but there's so many others. You reference birch, there's cherry and beech and, oaks. And they all do it somewhat differently, do it at different times, and they respond to stresses slightly differently. I think that's what adds to New England's and particularly Vermont's intensity and variety of color, is that we have this variety of soil conditions that translates into a variety of tree types And that variety really translates into and explains in a big way why ours is the world's best fall foliage.
If somebody wants to come to Vermont during fall foliage season this year, what kind of route would you send them on? What should they expect from the trees?
It's very early, but it has begun, this annual display, and it begins kind of slowly with the odd red splash on the hillside somewhere of a sentinel tree sort of signaling what's to come. And right now, you're seeing earliest color in the northeastern part of the state, the Northeast Kingdom, and in the spine of the along the spine of the Green Mountains. And then we can expect that to progress downslope into the Connecticut Valley to the east and the Champlain Valley to the west, and then downstate as we proceed. But that's really the story, is north to south, upper elevations to lower elevations. And if the last several years are any indication, full color throughout the state for the first couple weeks of October.
Okay, that's the view in Vermont. Let's go over to New York now. Taryn Bowerly is Associate Professor of Plant Science at Cornell University in Ithaca, and she previewed New York's fall foliage season with WAMC's Jim Lavoulis.
First, I just want to preface by saying it is always difficult to forecast. So I try my best, but there's so many factors that come into play that it's me against Mother Nature in many ways. So I think, though, we are set up for a fairly nice fall foliage color change. I think compared to other years, we might be a little on the early side, but depending where you are in New York. So there's a few areas of New York that have been experiencing some more water limitation and mild drought events, particularly western New York, and I know parts of the city and Long Island. So those areas might be a little on the earlier side. The Adirondacks, though, did receive pretty good rainfall this year, so I think they're probably on track for relatively normal timing.
And you mentioned those drought conditions in portions of the state. There have been some rather heavy rain events in recent weeks. Does that help at all, or is the deficit enough already there and sort of the forecast is set and the trees and the leaves are already on that path?
Yeah, so a little of both, I would say. So definitely it does help. And really the main predictor or kind of environment that we're interested in is really the time right before fall sort of hits. So what kind of condition are the trees in at that state? And so it really kind of depends, you know, how extreme that drought might or might not be, and if that those rain events can alleviate that particular stress. I can't speak for everywhere locally here, though, around Ithaca. We were working out in the forest during some of those really heavy rainfalls, and we did notice that it wasn't really enough to replenish the soil moisture. There were still a lot of very dry locations in the soil. So I don't think we've quite gotten enough to really sort of recharge that soil.
And what about weather conditions during the fall foliage season? Does that impact, you know, the colors, the health of the trees? I'm thinking something similar to, like, right, warm days and cool nights is great for sap production, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it does very much have an effect. And I don't know, I'm looking out the window of my office right now and it's very cloudy and raining. That's definitely not a type of climate that you're looking for really optimizing the foliage. So I would say kind of bright, sunny days, not super warm, but a lot of sunshine and nice cooler nights really help to optimize the fall foliage color. So yes, right around the timing of when the leaves are changing is a very critical time as well.
Have there been any noticeable impacts over, you know, recent years, say the past decade, of any invasive species that have been harming the trees that do produce that strong, beautiful fall foliage for the Northeast?
Yeah, so I usually think of, or sort of my go-to tree when I'm thinking about fall foliage, tends to be more of the maples, which they seem to be doing pretty well. As you're probably aware, we have had some invasive species, probably, though, not really for some of the trees that we really think of as the kind of our go-to popping, color-changing trees. So, for example, I'm thinking of ash trees as one, or hemlocks, which, of course, aren't changing colors, but do provide a very nice contrast, at least in terms of their very deep greens that they maintain within our forests as well.
And then in terms of the human impact on the fall foliage, oftentimes I think when you're driving around, you'll see that the trees closer to the roadway tend to turn faster, just mm-hmm. anecdotal. Is that because of the movement of the cars, the carbon dioxide, the pollution that comes off of the roadway?
So very true. That's not just anecdotal. We do often see that is, in fact, what happens. We even see it, for example, on the edge of a field or something like that. And it tends to be more because those trees that are on the edge are experiencing more extreme events in their climate. So they tend to be a little bit more stressed. They tend to either get a higher heat load or get colder faster if the temperatures are low. So it's more about their environment, not necessarily, CO2 or something like that from the cars.
So final question, if mm-hmm. you were planning a fall foliage road trip throughout New York State this fall, where would you start? Where would you end? What would that track be?
Yeah, well, I guess I would start more towards the northern parts of the Adirondacks. It's just because those are the areas that tend to start to turn earlier and first. And like I said, their weather has been pretty good this year, so they should be on track for a relatively normal season. And then I would probably head closer down towards my region here in Ithaca, where we are a little bit later in the season. But like I said, that could be kind of thrown on its head if we don't get much moisture in the next few weeks. And if these trees are actually changing faster than they normally would just because of those drought events. So that's a tricky question this year. Yeah, that's hard to say.
All right. Taryn Bowerly is an associate professor of plant science at Cornell University. Thank you very much for your time and your expertise.
No problem. Thank you so much.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks to Jim Lavoulis and Pat Bradley for those interviews. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.